Hey there. Today we have lie number 40, which is you need to do it all.
You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live.
We have a special guest, Tabitha, and I really enjoyed this podcast episode, particularly because it's not about the hustle culture. It's not about hustling at all. And we're not even really here to give hustle a bad name. I love that we really just dive into personal capacity. Are you saying yes when you should be saying no? Are you climbing mountains that God didn't even ask you to climb? We dive deeper into understanding where your capacity is, maybe what is keeping you from all the yeses that God actually has for you. Are you feeling burnout? And we even kind of go into the difference of what is hustle versus personal capacity. You're in for a real treat today to be with Tabitha. But if you also need encouraged in this journey of really personal capacity, understanding your worth, I highly suggest to pick up my best-selling book, Know Your Worth. It's one of the foundational principles of just knowing who you are in Christ. And I walk you through my own story from basically beginning to end with relationships, your body, your business, and your past history of not making it into an idol and not letting your past define you. So you want to pick up my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, if you just feel like you need your foundation again. If you feel like you've just been going through the motions and you need to be reminded of who you truly are. With that being said, let's go ahead and get to the interview with Tabitha. Tabitha, I'm so excited that you're here today to address this lie that you have to do it all. And I think this can go many different ways, but I know that, you know, we've been talking about what does it mean to have our own personal capacity of doing it, quote unquote, all. And even before this recording started, we were talking about making sourdough bread and how that's like the new thing with toilet paper. And we were just like, you know, it's just not for us. And we feel instead of feeling like we have to do it all. What does this mean to you, Tabitha? I love for the listeners to hear your heart and then hear about you.
So personally, this really resonates with me because I have spent half of my lifetime attempting to do it all and feeling as if I had the skills to do it all. And I think one of the things I love about how you phrase this is that you said, do we need to do it all versus can we do it all? And I think that's genius because can we do it all? I mean, I think maybe we could if we really wanted to, but do we need to do it all? No, we don't. We don't need to do it all. And that comes from a place of walking with Christ and really being able to dig into our relationship with Him and understand our, not just our capacity in what we're capable of, but being able to lay our capacity down and say, okay, Lord, am I really serving you in these things that I'm doing or that I'm taking upon myself? And being willing to walk away and say no. And finding the freedom in that for me has really changed my life, honestly, in just the last decade. It's been a long journey, and my desire is to see other women be able to experience that freedom and to just say, I don't have to do this right now. I don't have to do this ever, really.
Tell me, what was your breaking point? Tell us maybe, you know, oftentimes I would say what you become passionate about is because you've come through it and it's been something on your heart for a long time. Was there a moment where you were like, oh man, I have definitely taken on more than I've been asked. I'm climbing mountains that I've never been asked to climb. Was there this moment for you when it came to this capacity?
Yeah, there definitely was. I do think I would do it disservice if I didn't talk about the foundational moment. And that was when I was working full time And I made the decision to quit my job. And no one tells you, especially if you have the dream to be a career woman, because I never was the woman who was like, I'm dreaming of my wedding and I'm dreaming of babies. I honestly didn't think that that would be the life that I would live. And so when I finally was led to quit my full-time job, which was really a passion of mine, I remember grieving for a long time after that and spending a lot of time realizing that who I was had nothing to do with what I did. And that really creates a whole new reality when you can lay down your doing for your being and for who you belong to. And so then I think, like any journey, while I'm learning that lesson, there came a moment where I had been editing for a local mom's blog, and I was spending really late nights just editing, you know, different posts, and I was really burnt out. And I was being really stretched. And finally, I just realized I couldn't do it anymore. And I had asked my husband what he thought. You know, should I quit this position? Should I lay this down? I really loved it. There was really nothing wrong with it. While it could have been easy for me to justify and try to nitpick and say, oh, this is the reason I need to leave, or this is the reason I need to quit. And I just remember not knowing what to do, which is not my personality type. I tend to sort of know what I need to do and I just do it. I just pull the trigger real quick on things, which is both a strength and a weakness. But I just remember going to a church that was holding like a worship night and spending that whole night attempting to really wrangle out and wrestle with God, like what I needed to do next. And it sort of came down to this point of he didn't really care. I think it wasn't as if he was giving me a clear answer of whether I should say yes or no. It was more like, are you able to serve me and prioritize the things in your life and steward the things in your life the way that you should be while doing this additional thing? And the answer was no, I couldn't. I couldn't do it. And so the next morning I quit the position, and I did it honestly sort of begrudgingly, but obediently. But then after, felt this incredible relief of knowing that I had done the right thing, not just for me, but for my family, and ultimately for whoever was going to take my place, you know, making space for another person to own that position would empower another woman.
What I kind of love about this story, though, is oftentimes when we hear this title, you need to do it all, we think of the hustle culture. Mm-hmm. Like you're just kind of stressing, running around, doing all the things, working 80 hours a week. What I love about this story, though, is you're not really talking about the hustle culture. You're more or less talking about all these good things mm-hmm. that maybe aren't the great things that God has asked you to do.
Yeah.
So can you maybe separate or give some identification to hustle culture versus personal capacity? You might not be hustling, but you might feel overworked, right? Because you have too many things. Or maybe it goes back to the people pleasing mm-hmm. of the personal capacity, but maybe you're not really hustling. Like you're still spending time with the family. Do you know what I'm trying to say? How about you maybe for the listeners create kind of two different ideas of what this could look like?
That's a really good question. The first thing that came to mind that really deciphers if it's hustle or a personal capacity is what the vision is. I think hustle culture goes along with this American dream, this American ideal. I should have this. I want to be able to do these things. Whereas we say yes to a lot of good things that really fit within our vision, our dreams. And I don't think our vision or our dreams are bad things. And so there's a difference between conforming to what the world says your life should look like versus making choices or doing things that fit within what you're sort of dreaming your own life to look like. I think that there can be a very huge difference between that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think sometimes we think we're hustling, but maybe we're not. We're just saying yes to too many things. I mean, you did kind of start to feel obviously a little burned out, but it was still on a good thing. Like you knew like you really love this job. And sometimes I think it was hustle culture. We do a lot of things that we don't want to do so that we can get the things we think we need to have.
Yes, you're selling out, essentially.
I mean,
that's a kind way of saying it, but you're becoming something that you're not to fit into the rest of the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And what you were doing, you actually really enjoyed. How about you tell the listeners more about, because that was probably an income for your family, right? Mm-hmm. And so kind of taking that off your plate, it was a breath of fresh air. But how did you see God work after that when you were honoring kind of your personal capacity? What fruit did you see from that?
Oh, the fruit is 100% all heart, right? It's God is working to change us first before he changes anything else. And the fruit was knowing that I could be present with my family and not be distracted and thinking about the next project or the next thing that I needed to get done. And I think really the fruit was clarifying what it was that he had me doing in that moment. Like, what was my actual mission ground? Was it best serving this audience over here? Or was my mission to serve my family? Was my mission to serve my husband? Was my mission to serve my neighborhood? And I know for some people that can feel very cliche, especially if we're dreamers and risk takers and we have these large visions, but God wasn't trying to strip away the dream. He was still working on that, those things that I had been co-laboring with him on. He just needed me to be present in other spaces first to prepare me for the place that he was going to take me next. And so being able to clarify that vision in my real life was necessary to grow me into the woman that I needed to be and be prepared to be for the places that he's taken me since. And having that hindsight now, just looking back, I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change having said no or having stepped down from that position.
Well, how can we tell if we've hit a personal capacity? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we say things, I'm just called to do all these things. And if I say no, and we end up saying yes more than we think we really need to.
Oh yeah.
How can you identify maybe or help another person, the listener, say, okay, yeah, maybe I am hitting kind of a personal capacity, but I need somebody to speak to that. I think sometimes we're so close to people in our lives and, you know, we don't really tell them the whole truth sometimes. And maybe you need to be that voice of reason for somebody listening to say, okay, listen, and here's how you know if you've hit a personal capacity.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked this, Jessica, because just this morning I was thinking about 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, in doing this thing, whether it's a volunteer position or a new job or going out on a, you know, an appointment date, coffee date or whatever, am I serving God so that he can be glorified, or am I serving myself so that I can be glorified? Pride is the biggest indicator of whether we're doing something that we should be doing, or I hate the word should, but that really is going to bear fruit, or are we really just serving ourselves? And have we created an idol out of that thing to glorify our capacity and our ability? Going back to that job that I had been doing that I ended up stepping down from, I realized that the biggest thing holding me back from saying no to that position was pride. That I liked having influence and I liked having the power that I was granted, or the authority that I was granted in that position to edit other women's work. I mean, that sounds so sinful, but I ultimately realized that I was serving myself. I was creating myself out to be some lord that I absolutely was not. And knowing that and being able to admit that to myself allowed me to say, okay, I want to be serving God here. I need to walk away from this thing. I cannot spend another minute worshiping this idol. And so being able to really honestly reckon with the pride that we have and see if there's any indication of it helps us discern whether or not we need to say no or walk away.
Mm. I love that. I think it's true. You know, when we're really looking at our hearts and going, why can't I say no? Is it because this person will, I'll think this person will judge me or they won't consider me? I remember I wanted somebody to just be like, wow, you do all the things.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow, how do you do it? That's amazing.
Yes.
And now I'm like, I do this and I'm cool. You know, like it took me a long time to get to that point. Same. Let's talk about this then. This just came to my mind. And I know this is part of your story of when you deleted Instagram.
Oh yeah.
How about we talk about that? Cause that I think was another personal capacity of idol and pride. Yeah. I think from, you know, I've been here, I follow you on Instagram, of course, that's how we met.
You hit it on the nail.
But let's talk about that story. I think we see quote unquote influencers where, they take 6 month sabbaticals because, you know, they put on these certain fronts or these shows. Yeah. And how many followers did you have? Why did you shut it down? Mm-hmm. All the things.
I mean, I wouldn't say I was like, you know, up there influence wise. For me, the toiling that I had done to create this platform on Instagram felt like a major big deal. And so I don't honestly remember how many followers I had, but I remember God very much laying it out there and saying, you really need to delete this Instagram account. And I'll be honest, some people may roll their eyes, but it was like, okay, God, I'm pretty sure you're wrong here. And also, Instagram has a deactivation button. Why is it necessary to completely burn this thing to the ground? And pride was a big factor in that because I felt like I had worked so hard to make this thing happen. I had created this that was working, in my opinion, and I was doing it well, I thought. And one night laying in bed and I was crying because, you know, when God asks us to sacrifice something that feels very close and uncomfortable, it's hard not to feel frustrated and upset. Yeah. And we were wrestling and he just said, Tabitha, who actually built this platform for you? Who do you think was actually working behind the scenes? Do you think so little of me that the internet and your vision and your dream is outside of my reach to do incredible things from? And it was really that question that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. You are the one who did this, not me. And so I'm going to delete this Instagram account and I'm going to leave and I won't come back until you say I can. And I did it and I came back. And what's incredible about it is that I have seen his favor on just that simple act of obedience, that he has indeed rebuilt what was there, probably more so, honestly. And it's been beautiful. And I, more than anything, it's the heart work that he's done in my life of knowing who I serve, knowing that platform or title or influence that's perceived by the world has little to do with how he works in and through our lives, that he is way more capable than what we think he is. Mm-hmm. And so no regrets.
I actually love that. You know, maybe you're not an Instagrammer or whatever, but I think we can apply Tabitha's story, like your story, to really anything. Mm-hmm. Of what have we held above? What have we said we built? What have we said, you know, yes to that we don't really want to say no to? I mean, that can really, I mean, just in general, like, let's be honest. You said something and I loved it so much. I'm paraphrasing kind of what you said and adding a little bit to it, but you really said that basically God's not limited to Instagram. And we think that if I had X amount of followers or whatever it is, finally my dreams would come true. Finally, my goals would happen. you know, the mission would start or whatever. We hold ourselves, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever your platform is, we limit God to this platform size. And I love that you said that. And yeah. I know it wasn't exactly like that, but it made me think how we limit God to this.
And let's stretch it even more. Like, say you're just a stay-at-home mom and you're saying, well, maybe if I just had this community of friends. Or maybe you're a career woman and you hate your job and you're thinking, well, maybe if I had a different job. Like, we really have a tendency of boxing God in, and we try to strategize where he's already done the work. He's ready for us to obey, you know, and to really look around and see the opportunities that he's already presented. But our vision is so limited. We don't see what he's doing or what he can do with the things that we already have.
No, I agree. I think that we look at what we have or whatever we're in. I noticed, and I do this too, whatever we're in, we always look to the next thing. Well, I want out of this. Okay, I need to go here. Whatever job you're in, you're constantly complaining and going, I wish I was here.
Yeah.
And I think I was listening to a pastor talk about this one time. He talked about honor what's in your hand and it will prepare you for what's in your heart. So whatever job you're at, whatever, you know, thing that you're doing, stay at home mom, whatever it is, you don't have to give up what's in your heart because what's in your hand isn't aligning with what's in your heart right now.
So good.
And that to me, I'll remind my husband often because he wants to go into real estate full time and he's not there. And I'm like, babe, what's in your hand? And he's like, I know, you know, but it's that reminder for me too, because no matter what season we're in, we always want to escape it. We're always like, how can I get to the next thing? And versus like, okay, what are we doing now? So what are you doing now, Tabitha?
Just in general right now, gosh.
Yeah. Like we're, you know, coming out of this and starting this Instagram and honoring and saying no to things. Where does he have you now? What are you like, how are you helping women? All those things.
You know, gosh, I feel like there's a list. I mean, it's all very wonderful stuff. Like homeschooling my kids. Didn't think I'd be doing that in 2020, but here I am, you know. I am interning for the incredible and amazing Lisa Whittle. That's another thing that I'm doing. I'm helping my husband with his real estate business as much as I possibly can. And then like, it's really just looking for the details in the places that I'm at. Just this week, I put on like a little coffee date for some moms in our neighborhood. And in fact, I actually invited the whole neighborhood on our Facebook page. A few came, but there was a need where there are a lot of kids who don't have friends and school is really weird right now. And so they need to meet other kids. And so, you know, I tried to put something together to serve that need. And so I think what I'm doing now is I'm looking around me for opportunity and I'm seeing if I can serve that opportunity the best that I can and being able to say yes more confidently and then also no to the things that are not in line with the vision that God has really given me in this season, which is really to just be a steward of what is around me right now.
I keep saying I really love that. Okay, let me change my phrasing here. I just enjoy that because I think we're a lot of the same. We're type A's. You know, we talk about organization. We talk, and I have learned so much about saying no. And oftentimes when I say no, it's let me look. I always say let me look first because I don't actually keep my calendar in my phone because I work from home and my husband, we don't really just keep the same calendar. We don't have kids, so it's different. You know, they're not in sports and stuff like that. But I always have things written on my paper planner because I still do paper. And no. I always, let me check my calendar first. And if I have too many things that day, I'll say, well, can we do a different day? And it's just that willingness to say, thank you for thinking. I think I learned this from Shalene Johnson years ago when she would say like, thank you for thinking of me. Let me get back to you. Mm. That's all you have to say. Yeah. You don't have to give them an answer. You don't have to give them a, you know, a descriptive list of why you can't, you know, and I always catch myself explaining why I have to say no, or I couldn't respond to a text. And that is something I'm always working on, because we don't have to give people an explanation. I mean, if they're like your best friend or whatever, yeah, sure. But I think that's important. What do you want to leave people with, Tabitha? Is there something burning on your heart that you want to close out this lie with?
Yeah, I really loved what you shared about what's in your hand and what's in your heart. But I would add to it, whose hand are you in? Who's carrying you? I think when we're able to extend a no, it reassures us that we know who we're secure in. We're secure in Christ. We're not secure in what we do. We're not secure in our title. We're not secure in our salary. Like, those things aren't actually what provide for us or what stabilize us in our lives. Or they're not even really what directs the next step in our life, because it could change in a single moment. But we are secure in the hands of the Lord. And where we can't see, He has already been to and back, and He's carrying us there. And so just remembering, and I have to remind myself of this regularly too. I say this from a place of constantly having to walk through this on a daily basis, that I'm not in charge. Thank God. I'm not in charge of my life, but He is, and He will always remain faithful if I let Him. And that's a choice that I'm willing to lay down at His feet every day. And I pray that that's a choice that we all are willing to make every day, even as terrifying as it can be, you know?
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. I think just adding that on, what's, you know, who's holding you is really good. I like to end the episode with, what lie are you believing, or what lie has the enemy come for you, and what truth are you standing on? So it doesn't have to do with anything with this episode. Is there a lie that you've been like, man, why does this keep coming for me? And what truth are you standing on?
I think 100% it's, to steal some words from Jess Connolly, I'm not the girl for the job. Like, I've definitely been struggling with imposter syndrome. And it's a regular, everything in me wants to self-sabotage because I don't think I'm the girl for the job. But the truth is, God is the one who's placed me in this season that I'm in the people's lives that I'm in the conversations that I end up in. And if I trust God, I know that He has indeed made me the girl for the job, and that I can do the thing that He has set out to have me do.
I love it. That's good. That's a good answer. And there's no wrong, right? Like, there is no wrong answer to this.
I was just saying too, I don't remember. I love the idea of lies and truth. I think it's so powerful. I remember one night I actually wrote down all of these lies that I was believing about myself. And I have to tell you, they're intense. When you are really honest with yourself and you're like, here's what I believe about this, and here's what I believe about this. And then I took it a step further and I read it out loud to my husband, and he was flabbergasted. He could not believe that I thought those things. And not only did that give him an opportunity to speak truth into my life, but then I went back and found scripture and, you know, found some really good, solid truths to meditate on. Yeah. And it was life-changing. And I actually regularly do that on a regular basis now, just to make sure that I'm weeding out those things that are trying to choke out the life in me.
Yeah, that's a good practice. Trust me, I'm a girl with lies and truth, and I often share that on Instagram all the time. Just how things, I'm always thinking, well, where is this going? What am I doing? Because the enemy will be really strong in specific areas where you know that you're called. Yeah. I mean, let's just face that. Thank you for sharing that last truth there with us. Where do you want people to come hang out with you?
Well, right now, Instagram is my favorite. I love it. So
I love all your Instagram stuff. It's so pretty. I love your Instagram stories. I'm like, she must take at least like 5 minutes to do one story, because the way that you like do the lettering, and I'm like, okay, I know this takes time, but it looks so cute. And so
I do. I love Instagram, and I tell people I love Instagram not because of the typical things. I love it because of the messages and the comments that happen behind the scenes that no one else sees. Like, yeah. That's my favorite. So if someone comes and visits me there, please send me a message so I can get to know you. Because it's really about the community and about the people. That's what I love. It's just the personal relationships that are born. Like this. Like me and you. Like
yeah.
This
it was from Instagram. Yeah. Well, yeah. Tell us your name.
Oh, @ Tabitha Panariso. That's important. I mean,
I'll have it in the show notes, but I just wanted to say that. Well, thank you so much, Tabitha, for being here. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. I love this. Thank you for having me on.
P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied in the things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life. And recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future.